Blog Talk Radio.
Jesus is a heartbeat, the blood inside of my veins, the life inside of my body, everywhere I go.
Hello everyone, this is Kingdom Empowerment Inc. Radio, KEIFM, and the program is Kingdom Keys, Spirit, Soul, and Body Series. How are you doing today? We have a brand new topic today. It is, we are more than conquerors. Hallelujah. We give God the praise. We give God the honor. We magnify him. Hallelujah. Father, we just want to thank you today. We bless you. We thank you, O God, for the hope we have in you. And we commit our brothers, our sisters to your hands today. We need you than ever before. Thank you, Lord. In Christ Jesus. Amen. So today I'm just going to encourage ourselves. So again, our heart goes out for any one of us who has been helping out with this crisis, the coronavirus, the first responders, the nurses, doctors, healthcare workers, fire crew, police, whoever you are that are going out there to help our fellow brothers and sisters in every nation. You know who you are. So we just appreciate you. And we are always praying that God will continue to protect you even as you go in those areas to help out. God will magnify you, and God will protect you. God will heal you. God will provide for you. And God's love will abide in you. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, there are so many problems going on today. There is the oil price just is falling just so drastic. They are saying it's below zero. Currently, just if you look at the price, it's amazing that it has fallen so bad. And this also goes to touch our brothers and sisters who are also depending on those resources for a living. You can see all areas are being impacted by this coronavirus crisis. So now their income is also in jeopardy. They have to look for alternative areas where they have to feed, provide for themselves. So it's just the area where I said we need to talk about it. We are more than conquerors. Wherever situation we find ourselves, we are more than conquerors. So I'm taking this text from the book of Romans to read from chapter 8, from verse 31. We end at the last verse. Now, this book is designed to comfort us and to provide confidence to us as a believer. Okay? So, I'm going to be talking to ourselves today, assuming you are already a believer. Okay, if you are not a believer, this is even more tough. Okay, so if you are not a believer, you can still listen, but this is geared towards mature audience. Okay, so I just wanted to say this up front. So let's go ahead and listen to this message. It says, what then shall we say to this thing? What this thing is saying? As we were previously in the context, and read before all these verses, before this verse 31. And the word "these things" refers to God's purpose. And that was discussed previously. We see that in verse 28 to 30. God's purpose in us. And he said, if God has done everything from foreknowledge to glorification for us, all adversities are powerless. Every adversity becomes powerless. Okay, he said, verse 31 now, he said, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? And that is where the God, Jehovah Shammah, from. Truth of the matter is that he is for us. He is for his children. We are his children, and he's our father. Then he answered this rhetoric question of verse 31 with a question himself. And he did that in verse 32. He said, he who did not spare his own son, but deliver him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? It's a question. verse 33 now. He said, who shall bring a charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. It is God who justifies. 34. Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, it's also risen. Who is even at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for us? 35. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation? Shall distress? Shall persecution? Shall famine? Shall nakedness? Shall peril? Shall sword? 36. As it is written, for your sake, we are killed all day. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. This is a quotation Paul took from Psalm 44, verse 22. Now, continuing reading, 37. Yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him. What these things, that is what we just read in verse 35, and we're going to go into some of this specific soon. He said, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Verse 38, he said, for I am persuaded, neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come. 39, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Now, before I continue, when you read through all these, through all the verses, you can see that there is a word us. It started from verse 1. If God is for us, it's not saying if God is for you. That's himself included. Again, who can be against us? Also himself included. And just nearly every verse he said, he included himself. So like in some other text, you discover that he just write you, okay? For example, if you go to the book of Galatians, you see many of the areas, it says, if you being a Jew live, so, and all. And it's just saying that we are all together. We are one. You see, Romans chapter 8, verse 9. It says, but you are not in the flesh, but in the spirit. If indeed the spirit of God dwells in you. So you can see he just kind of demarcated. But here he's including himself as part of the people who are more than conquerors, who nothing will be able to separate from the love of God, because we are all in it together. There's no one that is able to face challenge. There is, when you look at the whole world today, there is an enormous challenges. If you say sometimes you look at your own challenge, when you look at somebody, when you hear somebody else's situation, you tell yourself, mine is not that tough. There's so much problem out there. A lot of problem. So that is the more reason we need Jesus. The more reason we need to depend on him entirely. It's no time to joke. This is seriousness. So we see that God has done the greatest thing for us, giving us his own son. And will he not also freely give us all things? It's a question. Now, Do you ever think that because you are not good enough for God, He will not save you? Look at yourself. I'm not good enough. Things are not going well. I'm a failure. I have done this. I have done that. Does that mean that He will not save you? Do you ever feel as if salvation is for everyone else but not you? For example, you look at yourself, because I'm not saved enough, that's why things are happening this way. No, it's not the question of this. I'm not saved enough. It's believing and receiving. Then these verses are especially for you. These verses are especially for you. If God gave His Son for you, He isn't going to hold back the gift of salvation. It's not going to hold back the gift of blessing. It's not going to hold back the gift of healing. It's not going to hold back the gift of understanding. It's not going to hold back the gift of reaching out to Him. It's not going to reach out the gift of protection. The protection will always be there. Hallelujah. If God gave His Son for us, He isn't going to hold back the gift of salvation. And if Christ gave His life for us, He isn't going to turn around and condemn us. Very important. He's not going to turn around. We need to withhold anything that God has given us. We have to hold it tight. We have to hold the salvation we have. We have to hold the love that He has given unto us, because He will not withhold anything we need to live to Himself. He will always provide all that we need to us. Now we see the elect recalls God's eternal program. The elect recalls God's eternal program. That is, God, the supreme judge, justifies us. Justify you, justify me, declare me righteous, and said, and the righteousness of God in Christ. Since Christ fully justifies and is presently interceding for us, that no one can possibly condemn us. If He has already justified us, then who is going to successfully bring a child against us? No one. The only person that can try is Satan. Now, Paul says that Jesus is interceding for us in heaven. God has acquitted us. He has set us free and has removed our sin, has removed our guilt. So it is Satan. It is Satan. So if we cooperate with Satan, then he has a right to do whatever he feels in our lives. So it is not God. It is Satan, and we cooperating with Satan, who accuses us. It's not God. When he does, Jesus, the advocate for our defense, stands at God's right hand to present our case. For more on the what he does, try to inflict problem, inflict affliction, inflict sickness and disease. But we still see Jesus and our true advocate for our defense coming out and the hallelujah. Now, verse 35 says,
distress, of persecution, of famine, of nakedness,
or sword.
Yeah.
It's like a
person. So each of these are like
an
This can be very devastating. Can be a very big problem. See? Tribulation in the form of like anguish, like a burden, like trouble. Somebody having a burden, a pressure. How about a distress? Like a calamity. Imagine a calamity, an anguish, a distress. How about persecution? That's where we always want to be persecuted. And finding hunger. Hunger. You can see today a lot of hunger. A lot of homelessness. A lot of people
you go to depending on where you are,
go to some places, you see the food bank. Can imagine the number of cars parked trying to get food from the food bank, from the community centers where they give out food. It's just unbelievable when you see people line up and the categories of people lining up to get food. Get free food. Lot of hunger out there. Lot of problems out there. How about nakedness? That is to be nude. Saying there are people, they cannot clothe themselves. They are in lack. They are in defeat. They cannot provide the resources they need to effectively clothe themselves, to effectively take care of themselves. We are known. We are in nakedness. How about peril? As in danger. How about sword? Sword, it's like a knife or a punishment. Okay? And he said, as it is written, that is verse 36 now, he said, for thy sake, we are killed all day long and we are accounted as sheep to be slaughtered. Accounted, that is numbered, like an inventory, to take an inventory, to, by some accounting word, like a number. It's like we have to be a nation to say, okay, how many people have coronavirus this week? We have 300. Okay, how many people passed on? 2 out of that 300 passed on. Go to another nation, Ecuador, you have this set amount of people infected with coronavirus, and these are the people who died. Okay, Canada, these are the, so we kind of give an account of the rate of infection. How many people have been infected? How many people have died from this infection? And how many people have been discharged? But in this case, it's talking about how many people are considered as a sheep to be slaughtered every day. See, so the coronavirus is considering, it's accounting our people to be slaughtered every day.
see, to be killed every day. See, accounted, count, numbered, esteem, reckon, take an inventory or estimate. Some people, some countries, they just estimate. They are not able to give an accurate figure of the number of people who are actually infected with coronavirus. Sometimes now they are saying they are underestimating in some countries. They are not giving us a true estimate of those who have been infected, those who have died, those who have been discharged. So it provides us an inaccurate statistics to be able to find out how that country is faring if they are not the exact amount of the people infected with coronavirus. So now it's trying to counter what is going on. He said, they, that is in the King James Version, he said, they, meaning no. No. You see, on understanding. That is, despite that, or how bit or but. And in my translation, you can just version say yet. So all these are to counter what has been said in terms of something trying to separate us from the love of God. You see, the key word here is something trying to separate us from the freedom of from the love of God. Because the love of God has been shed in our heart. In our heart. Unto us. The love of God is so important in our life. When you look at Romans chapter 5, verse 5, it says, now hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our heart by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. It's been poured out. So that is the moment a person trusts in Christ, that person receives the Holy Spirit who constantly encourages them in the hope in God. We dwell in the love of God, and that is the love of God, that consideration that God has in mind. Because we also love the world. And he gave his only son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So he must love the world that he gave. The love of God that he has for you and for me is a foundation in which he went on to offer his only begotten son. Yes. Based on the Lord of us. Hallelujah. You know, we can say we love God, this and that, try to outdo our fellow brothers or sisters. Oh, I love God. I don't believe you love God. I do this for God. I do that for God. You see, but he said in 1 John 4:19, he said, we loved him because he first loved us. We love him because he first loved us. Without him first loving us, we will not be able to love. So when we receive, then we give. So what we have received from him is that which we are doing to other people. So the love of God poured out
into our heart
by the Spirit of God. We just read in Romans 5:5, who living to us is poured out in our hearts.
So all we need to do is to receive it. But there will be an attempt for circumstances, like we've just read in verse 25, to provide separate. That is to place room between that. That is to place room between that. That is to path. You know, you will see this. There's a demarcation here. You go here, you go on the left, you go on the right. There's a difference. And to put asunder, to depart, that's to go away. Let's see what other translations say. Let's quickly go on other translation on that verse 35. And the Amplified said on that 35, saying, he said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? So there's no difference on that. We still maintain that word separate. Let's see another translation. What translation is this? Let's see. This is expanded Bible. Let's see what it says. 35. He said, on that verse 35, he said, can anything or who can separate us from the love Christ has for us? Then he tried to give a different meaning of the challenges. He said, can troubles, and he said, trials, tribulations, or problems, distress, hardship, or suffering, persecution, or hunger, famine, nakedness, that is destitution, or danger, or violent death, or sword. You see? So we see that in that translation. Let's see verse 35 here. So many of these translations tend to leave that word as it is. So they never toy with it like they do some other words where they try to change it. So separate is separate in many of the translations, which is very important. I'm glad I did not try to toy with the word. Okay? So that leaves us with the understanding that has to do with to place between, to part, to depart. So it's trying to make us depart away from the love of God. And it has some else kind of idea and we depart away from the love that God has for us. And how do we depart from God? That is living. That is, these challenges can come to poke us, can come to shake us, or move us from where we stand. Sometimes from our comfort zone, sometimes from where we are sleeping, sometimes from where we are just happier with. Maybe we stay for too long. For some people, it might just be the way things are. It's not their own fault. You can see today, not did we bring coronavirus to ourselves? Did we say we are going to be jobless today? Unemployed. Our brothers and sisters have no income, no resources, tends to be no hope. So a lot of hopelessness, a lot of anxiety, a lot of children out there. So clear room for danger to occur. the enemy to clear on our mind now. So please, we have to depend more on God. Is the enemy trying to separate us from the love of God? Now, when you go to John chapter 17, you see, the Lord was praying for us, for his disciples. And he said in verse 26, he said, "And I have declared unto them thy name, and was declared that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So the love of God again has been magnified in your life. So Jesus is again saying that the love you have with me has been imparted in us. He said, "Wherewith thou hast loved me may be in them, and I in them." So the love of God concluded when he died on the cross. He placed it. The hatred has been replaced with the love of God. The affliction, the pain, and everything that the enemy has been imparted to us on the cross, if we just know what he has done for us. Hallelujah. So, we give you glory to him. We give glory to him. Glory, 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 Lord. Look at Romans chapter 5, verse 8. He said, "But God commended his love to us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." It's an act of love that he has for us, that even then, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Even today, we still sin. But the love has been shed abroad in our hearts. It's there. Hallelujah. It's there. Even the book of Titus talks about this love of God. That is Titus chapter 3 from 4 to 7. It's there. Hallelujah. So in many places, 1 John chapter 4, verse 9 to 10, read on your own. It's also about love of God. Time will not permit me to go through all these verses. It's so important to deal with it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So now let's move forward. So these words, 36, 35, and 36, were written to us that undergo persecution, hardship, economic situation that we are experiencing today. So this passage reaffirms God's profound love for his people. So no matter what happens to us, no matter where we are, we can never be lost to his love. Suffering should not drive us away from but drive us to identify with him further and depend on his love and allow that love to reach us and heal us. So this verse we read contains one of the most comforting promises in all the scripture. So believers have always had to face hardship in many forms. We've seen with we are experiencing persecution maybe not where you are, but some countries, a lot of persecution. Some of them you cannot even preach the gospel. Like it's coming up in UK now. You cannot even preach. Cannot even preach the gospel anymore. I mean, in some areas, in some neighborhoods. I don't know about your nation. So that is why we need. That's why we need us to stand for election and support those who are going for election. So let's, we Christians, participate in the elected processes. And if you are not going to contest, let's support people who are going to, Christians, who are going to hold offices, and let them be there. See, if we are not participating, then we find people who don't know us, and they can do us sort of things, they can say all sort of things and tell us don't preach already happening, because we are not participating. We are saying this world is not we are not part of this world, and we are, and yet we are living here. See, so sometimes we misinterpret the scripture. We are here, so we are part of this world. So we should participate. But we are not part of this world doing all sorts of things that go against Christ. We are not part of that. We are not part of that world system that say anything antichrist, or that is antichrist, participating in all that is antichrist. No, we are not part of the world, but we are part of the world when it comes to what doing the things of God. So you then have to participate. You have to participate in the government, participate in the election, participate being in every area. We cannot remove ourselves. When we remove ourselves, we already defeat ourselves. Then how do you fight back? See, so we have to stand for election and support those who are standing for election, your brothers and sisters in Christ. Hallelujah. So we see that. Mm-hmm. So let's continue. So we see hardship in different forms, illness. Of course, we are seeing all this kind of illness, unseen enemy. That's what Donald Trump calls it, unseen enemy, coronavirus, imprisonment, death. So many deaths every day. See, so this could cause us to fear that we have been abandoned. No, we are not abandoned by Christ. And some of us are saying, where is Christ? He is still alive. He's still well. He's not dead. We are seeing the power of God in our lives. Now, you see verse 37. It says, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. And what is a conqueror? Conqueror is somebody who is a victor. That is somebody who conquer. You are victorious. Yes, we are victorious. We are what? Victorious. Hallelujah. In 1 Corinthians 2:14, he said, now thanks be to God who always causes us to triumph. That is to triumph, to be victorious in Christ, and make manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Now thanks be unto God, which always causes us to triumph in Christ, and make it manifest the Savior of his knowledge by us in every place. Not one place, in every place. Hallelujah. And when you also look at 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse let's take 2 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 12. 2 Corinthians 12, 9. So you can read that on your own time. It's fast moving. And 1 Corinthians 15:54. Okay. He said, so when this corruptible shall put on incorruptible, and this mortal shall put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. Okay. So on and so forth. So we see here that we are more than we are victorious. We are victor. We will not be defeated and we will not be put aside. So let's see what other translations say. In Amplified, it says, yet in all these things, we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through Him who loved us so much that He died for us. Isn't that amazing? Verse 38. He said, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt. That is where he says, for I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things, nor things to come. Verse 39. No height, no depth, no any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. So this love of God is in what? In Christ Jesus our Lord. You can see the essence of receiving Jesus. So when we receive Him, then this love of God imparted by the Holy Spirit to us. So amazing. So we need Jesus every time, every moment, every day, every second. We need Jesus. So let's depend on Him. Hallelujah. Let's depend on Him totally. So amazing. So we see here that let's go over this again on different translation. You see, verse 37 says in expanded, says, but in all these things we are completely victorious. By how? Through God, through Christ, or the one who showed us His love for us. Who showed us His love for us? Christ showed the love of our God, the Father, to us. You know, it was Christ who revealed the Father to us. Verse 38, he said, yes, I am sure, convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor ruling spirit, or heavenly rulers, demons, rulers, principalities, nothing now in the present, nothing in the future, no powers or spiritual powers or authority, verse 39, nothing above us, no powers in the sky, nothing below us, or no powers in the depth, nor anything else in the whole world, anything will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Past everything we can think of, whether above us whether below us, in the sky, depth, height, everything, whatever you can think about. He said, nothing shall separate us from that love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing. Nothing. So what is this telling us? That no one can successfully oppose us with regard to our personal relationship with God.
Because
the person is trying to bring a demarcation between us and our personal relationship with our God, then it follows that no one can separate us from Christ's love for us. Now we have seen a full list of this. So the list covers a range of experiences that we seem to pose a challenge to the reality of Christ's love that He has for us. Now, there is a term that I need to explain before we see for this letter. So those who love God have always had to what?
Face
death. Those who love God always face
death.
So the trials and difficulties that we read just not long ago in verse 35, they do not only try to separate us from Christ's love. They make us more than conquerors by forcing us. You know, we are going to be forced. We have no choice. Rather we sin and be totally dependent on Christ, or we fall away. That is when we separate us, because we separate us from His love. We just run away from Him. We fire the situation more than him. We accuse him of a wrongdoing. We curse him. Do all sorts of things to say, you know, this is too much. What type of God am I serving? What is going on? It's not God. We are just using it. So, the first use should I tell God, and all kinds of things we say. So, it's going to force us to depend on God. Hallelujah. That is bringing us. God, no more just playing hide and seek anymore, but really be serious with Him. So absolutely nothing can separate from love. So the apostle struggles for when to describe the absolute sanctity of God's love for us. Believers try to use all kinds of words to describe, okay, let me go here, that, powers, things, principalities, and on and all. So it's try to use words to illustrate. It's likely to bring a separation between us and the love of God. So it is my prayer today that nothing shall separate us from the love of God. No unseen forces of evil in the universe can separate you, can separate me. Not even Satan and his fallen angels will be able to separate you or separate me or separate us, like Paul says, in our life. In Christ, we super conquerors. We are supernatural beings. We are more than conquerors. We have conquered the devil. We have conquered him by faith in the name of Jesus. And his love will protect us from any forces. His love will what? Protect us from any such forces. So we just need to be forgiving, not allow offense to be in our path. That is holding offense, unforgiving spirit, but love, and let his love be the protecting forces that guide us from any such forces that might come to us. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. To Lord, we bless you today. And for the remaining 3 minutes that is left, we are just going to pray. We're going to pray for our brothers and sisters who are working tirelessly to bring treatment to fellow brothers and sisters who are in a different care, ICU, nursing home, hospitals, whatever you call it in your nations. Also pray for your nation. Pray for your government to be able to be strong to carry out the necessary procedure to be able to reopen your country. So pray for God's intervention. Pray for God's protection over your nations, over your neighborhood, your family, your government people, and everyone in the area. Hallelujah. Father, we bless you. We thank you for your word. We thank you, Lord, for those who you have put in charge of different kinds of people who are sick, for the healing you have poured out. You sent your word and you heal all those sickness. You sent your word and you heal us. You sent your word, you heal the healthcare workers. You sent your word, you protect, you guide them in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for brothers and sisters in different situations right now. Some in the ICU, some recovering, some have been discharged, some have been infected. We release you from the spirit of sickness. Be healed in the name of Jesus. 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 Cover you with the blood of Jesus. And we thank God for the love God has for you. We thank you that nothing shall separate you from the love God has in you, in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, for you protect, you guide them, lead them, go ahead of them, help them to take care of these people, give them the skill, the ability to be able to understand what is wrong with this, with the patients. For them to find out how to cure sickness that is going all over the country. We flush you out, you coronavirus. We flush out, you coronavirus. We flush out, you coronavirus. And in the name of Jesus.